Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 3, Hiranyakashipu's Plan to Become Immortal, Text number 25. Uttaya Pranjali Prava. Ikshamano Drisha Vibhum. Actually, there's no purport to this. I'm just going to read it. The translation, no purport. Then getting up from the ground and seeing Lord Brahma before him, the head of the deities was overwhelmed by jubilation. With tears in his eyes, his whole body shivering, began praying in a humble mood, with folded hands and a faltering voice to satisfy Lord Brahma. Sri Hiranyakashipu Vacha. Kalpante kala shristena yondena tamasavritam abhivangnag jagat idam swaya yanjoti swarochisa Hiranyakashipuravacha Kapante Kala Shristena Yondena Tamasavritam Abhivangnag Jagat Idam Swayanjoti Swarochisa Sri Hiranyakashipu Vacha Srihanikashipurvacha Kalpante kalashristena Yongena samasaritam Abhivyangnag jagadidam Sayajoti swayochisa Srihanikashipurvacha Kalpante kalashristena Yondena tamasavritam Abhivagnagadidam Svayanjoti swarochisa Janske Hiranyakashipurvacha Kalpante kala shristena Nata saritam Sri Hiranyakashipu vacha Sri Hiranyakashipu, beautiful Hiranyakashipu. No, she's beautiful. Hiranyakashipu said, Kalpante, at the end of every day of Lord Brahma, Kalashistena, created by time, by the time factor. Ya ihu andena by dense darkness tamasa by ignorance aritam covered abhivangnak manifested jagat cosmic manifestation Idam this. Svayam Jyoti, self-effulgence. Svarochisa, by his bodily rays. Atmana, by himself. Trivita, Trivita, conducted by the three modes of material nature. Cha, also. Idam, this material world. Sri Jati, creates. Avati, maintains. Lumpati, annihilates. Raja, of the mode of passion. Sattva, the mode of goodness. Tamaha, and the mode of ignorance. Dhamme, under the Supreme Lord. Paraya, under the Supreme. Mahate, under the Great. Namaha, my respectful obeisances. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord within this universe. At the end of each day of his life, the universe is covered, fully covered with dense darkness by the influence of time. And then again, during his next day, that self-effulgent Lord, by his own effulgence, manifests, maintains, and destroys the entire cosmic manifestation through the material energy, which is invested with the three modes of material nature. He, Lord Brahma, is the shelter of those modes of nature, sattva-guna, rajaguna, and tamaguna. It's called flattery. Purport. The word abhivyanag jagat idam refers to he who creates the cosmic manifestation. The original creator is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Janmadyasya yataha. Lord Brahma is the secondary creator. When Lord Brahma is empowered by Lord Krishna as the engineer to create the phenomenal world, he becomes supremely powerful. Teacher within this universe. The total material energy is created by Krishna, and later, taking advantage of all that has necessarily been created, Lord Brahma engineers the entire phenomenal universe. At the end of Brahma's day, everything up to the Swargaloka is inundated with water, and the next morning, when there is darkness in the universe, Brahma again brings the phenomenal manifestation into existence. Therefore, he is described here as he who manifests the universe. Trin Gunan Rinoti. Lord Brahma takes advantage of the three modes of material nature. Prakriti, material nature, is described here as Trivrita, the source of the three material modes. Srila Madhvacharya comments in this connection that Trivida means Prakritya. Lord Krishna is the original creator and Lord Brahma is the original engineer. So, Hiranyakashipu's not the most enlightened person in the universe, although he may have been the most powerful, or potentially the most powerful, because here he's giving all credit to Lord Brahma. But that's normal. There are 18 Puranas, 6 Puranas for those in the mode of ignorance, 6 Puranas for those in the mode of goodness, passion, and 6 Puranas for those in the mode of ignorance. In other words, the Vedic literature, there's something for everyone there. In the mode of ignorance, one might think Lord Shiva is the creator of the material world. And in the mode of passion, one may think that Brahma is the creator of the material world. And in the mode of goodness, one may think some powerful demigod, or ultimately Vishnu, is the creator of the universe. In any case, Brahma is as Krishna says, yo yam yam tanun bhakta shradayarchitam icham ti tasya tasyatram shradam tam eva vididamyaham. That I'm in everyone's heart as the super soul, and I empower the demigods. Yo yam 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 tanun bhakta shradayarchitam icham. I empower my worshippers with a particular faith to worship a particular demigod. And then the demigods, by my agency, satayas sharaya yuktas, tasiradam ihate labate chat takaman maya vinitan hitan. By my potency, the demigod is able to bestow benedictions. In other words, Krishna sets up the material world, although he's behind everything, he's empowering everyone, still he allows some credit to be given to others. And if they take the credit, then they're an illusion. He allows the credit to be given, but along with the caveat that if you take the credit, you'll be put into illusion. The most basic principle is that aham brahmasmi, I am spirit. And beyond spirit is the fact that we're spirit is things such as prakrite kriyamanani, gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are actually carried out by the material energy. Anadivam nirgunadvat paramatmayam avyam shariya stopikantiya nakaroti nanalipyate. Those who can see with the eyes of eternity can see the soul is eternal, transcendental, and beyond the modes of material nature. Despite contact with the material body or Arjuna, the soul is neither entangled nor is he doing anything. Soul is doing something, but not anything material or anything to do with this material energy or even the spiritual energy here. He simply desires the soul. We ourselves are simply desiring. And if we desire correctly, then we're under the spiritual energy. And if we desire incorrectly, then we're under the material energy. But our desire is not, we just desire. We have to know what to desire. So that's called intelligence. What's desirable and what's not desirable. What's to be done and what's not to be done. Pravritim cha, navritim cha. Actually, that's right. Pravritim cha, navritim cha. That's correct. Pravritim cha, navritim cha, kari kari vaya vaye, banda moksha chiya veti, buddhi saparta, satviki. There is a super soul. Pravitim cha, navritim cha, karya karya baya baye, bandham moksham chaya veti, buddhi saparta, satvaki. That in the mode of goodness, the intelligence tells us what's to be done. That's called pravitim. And navritim, what we're not supposed to do. Karya karya baya baye. What we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. Karya akarya. What's permissible, what's not permissible, what's to be done, what's not to be done, what's fearful, and which is not fearful. Baya, baya, chaya, pravitim cha, navritim cha, karya, karya, baya, baya, banda, moksha, chayaviti, which is binding and which is liberating. Such intelligence is said to be in the mode of goodness. So that's why we're trying to find out what's desirable and what's not desirable. What will bring us progressively to a higher stage of consciousness and what will bring us to a lower stage of consciousness. People generally are not interested in their consciousness, they're interested in accomplishments, external accomplishments. If they accomplish something external, they think that's complete. If they can make money or get a nice house or a family, whatever, they take this as a great accomplishment. And therefore, sometimes they worship the demigods. If they're not qualified for the accomplishment, then they try to bribe a demigod to give it to them. But Krishna says this is avidipurvakam. This is illegal, trying to bribe the government offices. The result is you'll get something, but you also have to get the karma for using it. If you're not supposed to have it, and you get it, and you get the karma for it, then it's not going to help you in your next lifetime. If you're not satisfied with what you have, then it means you're unsatisfied, and you'll try and get more, and that more will simply bind you closer to the lower modes of nature. Therefore, one should try to cultivate intelligence in the mode of goodness to find out what our duty is and what not is our duty, what's binding, what's liberating. Then we can understand what's desirable and what's not undesirable, and we can choose the right desires. The right desire will liberate us from material concepts. Unless we're becoming liberated from the material concepts, then it's all wrong. Then we're just wasting our time. Even if we're desiring the mode of goodness, which is better than ignorance and passion, still that itself is also binding. Sattva tatra sattvat nimaladvat prakasha kamanamayam sukha sangena vananti jnana sangena chagnaga. The mode of goodness is the tatra sattvat nimaladvat, is pure of the others. Nimaladvat prakasha kamanamayam. It gives one knowledge, illumination, not just ordinary knowledge, it illuminates one. And prakashikam tatra sadvaini maladvat prakashikam anamayam, and frees one from sinful reactions. Those in this mode develop knowledge and become conditioned by a sense of happiness, so-called happiness. Tatra sadvaini maladvat prakashikam anamayam sukha sangena chagnavi sukha sangena. What's the next word? Bandhanti. Tatra sate nimaladvat prakasha kamanamayam sukha sangena chagnaga. That's not right either. Sukha sangena bandhanti jnana sangena chagnaga. I guess the word is bandhanti, my guess. Sukha sangena bandhanti. Let's see, actually it's in the 14th chapter. Bandhanti. Yeah, that's what I thought. Tatrasadvainimaladva prakasha kamanamayam sukha sangena bandhanti jnana sangena chagnaga. And frees one from all sinful reactions. So that's good, but one becomes generally conditioned by peace. In other words, generally speaking, when one strives in the mode of goodness independent of Krishna consciousness, then one is simply looking after peace. But without knowing we're eternal servants of Krishna, there can't be any real peace. Without knowing that Krishna is the controller, that Krishna is the enjoyer, that Krishna is the friend, one can't actually bring about peace. Without peace, there can't be any real happiness. Because even we act in the mode of goodness, in harmony with the modes of nature, and material nature gradually doesn't put us into so much anxiety, but still there'll be some anxiety, because we have to die, and we don't know where we're going. And if we're going to the heavenly planets, they're also temporary. So we don't know when we're coming back here. We don't know when we're coming back. If you come back here at the end of Kali Yuga, and little men are chasing to eat you, you haven't really gotten very much progress. What to speak if you're one of those little men chasing after people trying to eat them. Wouldn't be very pleasant. Therefore, one should try to develop the intelligence that we're not the controllers. Even if you become Lord Brahma, he's not really the controller. He's an instrument for Krishna. And Aranyakashipu, although he may appear to be a fearful demon, but he was empowered by Krishna. As Prahlad Maharaj said, when he asked him, where did you get your power from? So Prahlad said, the same person that gave you the power. So it's a show going on. These little souls are desiring, and this big show is going on. And we're taking credit for it, and we're blaming others for it, for so many things. But actually, it's just a show put on by Krishna to satisfy the desires of the minute living entities, the soul. So therefore, one should drop out of the material conceptions, understand how Krishna is behind things, and try to act as Krishna would want us to act. And if we do that, then whatever we're doing will be beneficial for ourselves and others. And if we don't do that, well, then we're simply bewildered and entangled by the modes. And it's not just activity, it's a question of vision, of seeing things. If we don't see how Krishna is behind things, then we'll be in anxiety and we'll blame others for what happens, and we'll get entangled in he's good and he's bad. They're all good and bad people, but these persons are simply Krishna's manifesting the desires of the soul. Unless Krishna manifested these desires, nothing would be going on, nothing bad would happen, nor would any good happen. So rather than worrying about what everyone else is doing, what Krishna is doing, we should worry about what we're doing. We have enough to worry about in that respect. We're concentrating on what we're doing, then we'll make some progress, and one day we don't have to be in the material world participating in this useless exercise of material desires. Of course, it's an opportunity here in the material world to develop spiritual desires, but once we develop them, then we won't be so entangled anymore by material conceptions and material desires. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. I'm wondering, these demigod worshippers. So how demigods then, they have like their separate account for their devotees to found their material desires, or they have like their personal account that Kshirodakshaya Vishnu is like supporting? How does that?
Well, you're trying to figure out what a demigod is. Good luck. It's like an ant trying to figure out how what motivates a human being. How does he do it all? You ever see an ant? How much brains they have? So with our tiny brain, we're going to figure out how the demigods are running the universe by Krishna's, under Krishna's direction. It's not possible. We have no power to do that. Yes.
Hare Krishna. You mentioned about developing spiritual desires while being in the material world as being the purpose of this world. So how do we ascertain that our desires are spiritual? Oftentimes they're very mixed with the material aspirations.
Well, if you know they're mixed, then they're mixed.
The thing is, I don't know. I think, no, this is spiritual.
Well, there's Guru Sadhana Shastra. Krishna has given us enough indications what he wants. Then there is the guru and the sadhus, they can tell us what they want. And if we're doing what they want, then it's spiritual. And if not, then it's material. If we're not consciously aware of what they want and how they want us to do it, how they want us to say things, how they want us to think, how they want us to act, if we're not consciously aware of that, then to some extent they're material. And especially if we don't remember Krishna. If we don't see how everything belongs to Krishna here, meant to please Krishna by Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra, and we're not consciously trying to please Krishna, and therefore Krishna is helping us remember him, then we're under the material energy. But that's all right. If we make an effort, then we get out of it. And if we don't make any effort, then we'll never get out. It's the effort. We become more steady and more enthusiastic about service, authorized service to Krishna. Then Krishna will give us the intelligence so that we'll be able to understand these things. Yes.
Also, you quoted a verse about sattva-gun binding by attachment to peace. But this is something also that we frequently say when we preach or distribute books. That, as Bhujan Prabhu was joking, he saw a Sankirtan van saying that read Bhagavad Gita for anxiety-free life. So he joked, I must be reading some wrong Bhagavad Gita. So on one hand, we sort of...
Was that the 72 edition or the...
He read all three of them, 68 too. So we use it to promote Krishna consciousness, but then we condemn this, apparently.
Yeah, depends who you're talking to. Obviously, it's time, place, and audience. Told people, read this book, it'll help you develop pure love of God. And maybe we can sell a couple of books to, you know, our mother or father or someone down the block. Most people aren't interested in developing pure love of God. They are interested. But this does promote peace. There's a peace formula. So we're not lying to them, but that's where they're at. That's what they're interested in. So we approach people according to what their interests are. Even Bhagavad Gita goes over so many different interests. There's something for the jnanis there, bhavanam janmanamante. There's something for the karmis, karmyeva dikaraste. Something for the yogis, yoginam api sarvesham. There's something for everyone. It's a nigama kalpatura galitam palam. It's a desire tree. Take whatever you want. But give a donation. Yes.
A person may think, if I fulfill material desires, then I'll be peaceful and practice spirituality.
Yeah, people are crazy.
What to do?
That's called punak punasharvita charana. No. People are always thinking like that. It never works, but they always think like that. That's called material existence. It's called yoga chalati manasa. As soon as one tries to make advancement in spiritual life, Maya will try and delude one by so many different types of allurements. I don't know anyone who's fulfilled their material desires and said, well, now I've had enough. And even if they do, they think, well, you know, I ate so much, I feel satisfied. I had so much, I slept so much, I feel satisfied. But then after some time it wears off, and they get greedy again, they become lusty again. You get burnt out by over sense gratification, even, oh, now I'm satisfied. I'm free from sex life, we've heard that. I'm free from sex life. They join the movement, they were engaged in so much illicit sex, now they feel they're free. And then a year later, when the intoxication wears off, they come down from the LSD trips, their senses get a little stronger again, then they fall in love again. Everything becomes attractive again. So you can get burned out, and then it's called bhoga tyaga. Alternating renunciation and sense enjoyment. Without becoming Krishna conscious, then we're simply engaged in alternating sense enjoyment and renunciation. Anything else? Because we do, you know, satisfy our senses. If we eat prasadam in the right way, we sleep properly, etc., etc., then our body senses will be more or less satisfied. It's not that we deny them. But we think every desire that comes to my mind, first I satisfy them, and then I engage in devotional service. It won't work like that. We'll never be able to satisfy all the desires for our mind. The senses, they follow desire, and you can satisfy them if you sufficiently and properly gratify them. But the mind, you try to satisfy the mind's desires, then the mind will simply concoct more desires. The more you try and satisfy the mind, more will concoct more and more desires for you to satisfy. There's no end to this gratification the mind demands. Yes?
Hare Krishna, thank you for your explanations. I would like to ask referring to this peace again. if it's wrong to search peace in Krishna consciousness, and if the peace is a byproduct of serving Krishna and going in the direction of serving Krishna.
If you want to become peaceful, if anyone wants, they have to become completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. One has to go beyond the material conception of life. One has to realize that one's the eternal servant of Krishna, then one can become peaceful. Otherwise, it's not possible. As long as we're identified or misidentified with the gross and subtle bodies, where there is any possibility of peace. Nasti buddhiya yuktasya nacha yuktasya bhavanaha apavintak shantira shantasya kutak sukham. One who is not, they have this new translation which I always get wrong. The one who is not in divine consciousness or Krishna consciousness can have neither a controlled mind nor steady intelligence, without which there is no possibility of peace, and how can there be any happiness without peace? Now the new translation is, that's the old one. One who is not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. How can there be any happiness without peace? So without being connected with Krishna, we can't see things properly. And we don't see things properly, we'll always be in anxiety. We don't realize we're eternal, and we're eternally servants of Krishna, we'll always be in anxiety. And if we're in anxiety, where there is any question of peace? And we're not peaceful, there's no question of happiness. So trying to get peace independently of Krishna consciousness is impossible. Anything else? Thank you very much. Kradraj Shimad Bhagavatam Kijaj.